Hello, you're listening to the Dungeon Boys podcast. This podcast is a group of friends telling a story Dungeons and Dragons style. We are rated M for mature because we say a bunch of fucked up shit all the time. And you can find us on all of the social medias or check us out on our Patreon. But with that, I'll go and introduce the boys and give them their prompt. Your prompt today, boys, is what was the silliest reason your character ever got into a brawl?
Hi, my name is Molly B, and I play Emberly, a fire druid fairy. So Emberly isn't much of a brawler, but this one time...
Fair. You know, you got giant's noses, but that's cool.
I mean, that's more sneaky, right?
That's true. That's so fair. Sneaking.
So Emberly's
so sneaky.
Brawler.
You'll never know I'm here.
It's just like a nap playing
up. Inflict wounds to the brain.
I'm right under your nose. I'm so sneaky. I'm right under your nose.
Sorry, we just fucked your whole intro. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. So she's not much of a brawler, but this one time at fashion camp, this girl who thought she was really cool dipped one of her scarves in a porta potty, and then she hid it inside of her sleeping bag, and she may or may not have put Nair in her shampoo as retribution.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
She wasn't happy when she found out.
Emberly's a mean girl.
Yeah.
I mean, well, she didn't start it, but she finished it.
Oh, shit. Okay, we gotta have a flashback with that moment coming up soon.
Oh gosh, could you imagine if you did that squeak just naked bunny?
Have you seen the owls when they don't have feathers? That's what I'm imagining.
She's cooled down a little bit since then. Just a little.
Her fire went from blue to pink.
Yeah.
Cooled down.
Hi, my name is Fox. I'm playing Squeak the Blizzard or Wizardin. Whatever you want to call it. He's adorable and you should love him. And he doesn't get into brawls. He has people to do that for him.
This is how you and Garbage secretly know each other. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I'm next. Hi, my name is Garbage. I'm a halfling rogue. And all of the little scruffles that Garbage have got into are justified 100%. There's no... He's just always right about everything. Everything's justified.
So they're not silly at all.
No, they're 100% justified.
Love that. But did you call them scruffles?
Yeah,
scruffles. Little scruffles.
Yeah, they got ridges and stuff.
Aren't they scuffles?
Not for Garbage.
These are a little hairy, okay?
They're well worn.
Okay, now I'm really understanding why Garbage and Squeak get along so well now. People fight for me. Everything I do is justified.
Now, if we could just do something about that smell.
Oh.
Hey, hi, howdy. I'm the Jin playing our lovely hippo in a tutu skirt, Squish, our cleric on Stardust Echoes, and probably the silliest reason that she ever got into a brawl. We are just a very warlike people, so really, I mean, you could step on someone's shoe the wrong way, you could accidentally offend someone's grandma in the wrong way, you can just give someone a bad look and it starts a brawl. Yeah, that's just kind of what we do as a GIF.
What's the right way to offend someone's grandma?
You know what? You know, sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's unintentional. You know, it's kind of like, man, really wish.
If it's intentional,
like,
it's fine.
Right. No, but like unintentionally, man, my grandma makes the best brownies, and then someone's over here like, oh, so you're saying my grandma's brownies suck? What the fuck? Like, yeah. Like, I don't even know your grandma.
So how many times have we inadvertently insulted you?
Yeah.
Well,
do
yeah.
A tally
No. Just don't worry about it.
Oh, she's... Squish has got a tally.
Don't worry about it.
I imagine Squish is, like, the most polite and, like, nicest person when she's in a fight, though. Oh, sorry.
Or it's all passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
Really
she
sorry about this.
She avoids them. She avoids them if she can. She doesn't like brawling, but she will just to remind people that you can't... Like, she doesn't like it, but she'll finish it. All I'm saying.
She's like the France of GIF.
Hey y'all, my name is Arland. I play Valen, the winged tiefling Sorlock. The silliest reason he ever got in a fight was because someone sneezed on him.
That's not silly, that's valid. It's 100% valid.
We're already in character.
No, but this is what the silly part is. It wasn't like directly on him, but it was like in his direction, and the guy may or may not have been 20 feet away.
Plot twist, it was a toddler, like a 3-year-old. And it was like,
poor Tommy.
And my name is Justine. I will be your dungeon master for this campaign.
Just this
fun fact for you. Yeah. Your Stardust Echoes fun fact is when they were trying to terraform the planet of Gozi.io, which is the water world, they thought that they could actually erupt volcanoes to make like an island system before they actually went underwater and created the entire thing. And so there are a lot, and I mean a lot, of just ships that are wrecked by explosions just floating all along the surface. And that is your fun fact for Stardust Echoes.
Loot the ships.
Are there magical items on these ships?
There needs to be.
We're not even on Gozi.io. Relax.
I gotta plan shit out.
Can we get there?
Yet.
Maybe that was a hint. But with that, the Dungeon Boys proudly present Stardust Echoes. Last episode, the team climbed the final volcano of the Vaultsome Nautical. They saw crushed dragon eggs broken apart, dead members of opposing teams, and broken camera equipment. Something was not quite right. It was almost as if their path had been cleared for them to this moment. Upon entering the volcano, they rushed past trials and strange magic, reliving some past traumas that they had held deep within. When they entered the belly of this giant volcano, they realized they were in the final chamber. A tall obelisk sat upon an island surrounded by lava, and slowly, one by one, they saw what they were supposed to face. A beautiful succubus, a giant boar, a red dragon, and a mysterious chest. They immediately dove into combat. Now, barely knowing one another, they fight side by side for not only their place in this nautical, but for their lives. The heat rolls over you from the lava that's bubbling. This giant boar screams to the northeast of your party. A shrill laugh comes from the succubus who stands at the northwest. A dragon proudly stands right in front of you on your center island. The chest somewhat forgotten to your southwest. Now that succubus is making eyes with you, Valen, as you rush towards her.
He'll fly up, and then he'll, as he's flying up, he blasts down with one, with his first blast. And it's red, like it's red with red lightning around it. But then as the tail end of it kind of leaves his hand, you'll see like a pitch black, like streak kind of follow like and out of the core, and that's necrotic damage hitting.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It's 6 necrotic damage, and then the rest is it force damage?
Yeah.
And then that's his turn, because I used the bonus action and an action and movement.
You, as it hits her, that scream that she was saying from flying turns even more evil sounding. Like, this beautiful voice she had just is turning more, like, it grating on your ears as she... from this as it's hitting her, and like her hair blows up. You see a tit and her hair blows up, and then it kind of comes back down.
Valen goes, nice.
Anything else for you, Valen?
That'll be it.
Okay, the boar is up with Emberly on deck. So this creature has been pawing the ground. It's huge, giant. It stands 15 feet high. It's 10 feet wide. Think if you've seen Princess Mononoke, but instead of worms, it's fire. That's really like what this creature is. And it's going to back up a step and then run and jump. It lands, squishing the ground of it. It turns its fiery maw, like blood and ick dripping out of these nostrils with flames at you, Squish. And it just bellows at you. And it's going to try to hit you with its tusks. Does an 11 hit you? That wasn't cool.
An 11 misses.
Damn, that was such a good build-up. Yeah, it goes to hit you, and Squish perfectly. It was able to dodge, and it kind of huffs its nostrils flare as fire comes out as it's getting more angry. And it has multi-attack. Does a 8 hit?
An 8 does not hit.
Yeah, I would assume, but I gotta say it. Okay, I could have done so many other cool things, but I was like, oh, it's not easy. Okay, it doesn't have any bonus actions because it's a big dumb boy, and that's going to be the boar. Emberly, you're up with Jigalda on deck.
Emberly's just gonna go like tisk, tisk, tisk. And she's going to point at the boar and cast Dominate Beast.
Oh, shit, that's cool.
So he needs to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. This is exciting. He rolled a natural 1.
Oh, fuck.
You did just call him a big dumb boy.
I did.
I like my big and well done. And she's just going to point to the lava and direct him to walk into a lava pit.
Holy shit. Okay, let's look up lava damage D&D. Please hold.
I'm gonna tell him to swim in the lava, actually. Just in circles. Go for a little lava bath.
The creature falls into lava or starts to turn in there. It takes fucking 10d10 fire damage per turn. Okay, yeah, he looks at you. The flames almost turn the same pink that your flames on your wings are.
That makes me feel bad.
He cracks his neck almost like he's trying to fight it, and then he doo, 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 he walks into lava. You all see him as it starts to like, and he's screaming, this big scream coming out and squealing.
Oh, that makes me feel bad.
Sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. It's good.
Jesus, Arlen, thank you. God. Stop. 10d10. This is disgusting. 6 plus 4. He takes a fucked damage. 34 plus 23. He takes 57 fire damage. He's still alive, but he is like almost suffocating from the own putrid smell of his melting flesh.
Oh.
As he goes in, I get that saving throw. What kind of saving throw? Wisdom?
Yep.
18.
Does that beat your spell DC?
Well, it meets it. It's 18. So, I guess, where's that beat?
Meets it beats.
Meets it beats.
Okay.
So, yeah, as the pain hits him, he looks at you, Emberly, and you feel targeted.
Okay. Well, then in that case, I'm going to cast, let me see.
She's like, I cast Shield of Faith on me.
He doesn't have wings, so he probably can't fly to get you.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He's gonna grow wings.
hippos and pigs flying?
I'm going to cast Guidance on Squish.
Oh, yeah, she's right next to that boar.
I'm going to go fly over to her shoulder and just tap her on the shoulder and say, you might want to move. Once before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4 and add the number to one ability check of its choice. It can roll the die before or after making the ability check that the spell ends. And I'm going to fly, like, I don't know, 100 feet up.
What's your fly speed?
Oh, just kidding. I can't do that. I'm going to go, like, 30 feet up.
Cool. So, Emberly, is that it for you?
That's it.
How far below us is the boar? Is it below us, or is it just
3 feet? It's almost like a shore of lava.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Well, no, he went pretty deep because he went up to his shoulders, so he's like 10 feet deep in that lava.
Yeah,
dirty boy. Okay,
go deeper. Where?
So then I'm also going to assume that he's gonna have half movement getting back out, right?
If he can even get out, yes.
Okay.
Also, I just want to clarify that when I told him to go for a swim, I intended him to make as much movement as he... I wanted him to go swim as far into the lava pool so that he would be the farthest possible away from land. Does that make sense?
That is fair. Yes, his movement, though, he'd already moved, like, 25 feet, so he could only go, like, 5 feet in.
That's fair.
But I do like that. That's good. Okay, Jugalda's up with the dragon on deck. So Jugalda is looking back and forth and around. She's very small. She's a small creature. I should probably make her smaller.
She's a very threatening kitty with a dagger, so, like, try not to play her too innocent here.
A dagger tail?
So she looks around and just goes,
calculating,
and then is going to run super fast up this obelisk that's right next to you, Squeak. And she kind of gets up next to you, and you see her... You know how cats do that thing where their spine arches up, like the classic black cat? Mm-hmm. You see her do that and look down on this dragon.
Is it one of these where they're
dragon.
Like sideways?
Yeah, where they're sideways and puffing out. And she, her spine comes up. She's like almost mechanically spitting. And her tail points at the dragon and she goes,
not my friends. Friend, we will see.
And then she jumps down with her dagger tail aimed right at this dragon's eye.
Can I get a reaction?
Of course.
To drop kick her into the lava, like, as she jumps, just... I'm kidding.
I was like, why would you do
she
that?
She knows my secret.
Hundreds of... How many years old is she? Like, hundred, thousands of years
300,
old?
300. 375.
375-year-old sentient being. Yeeted into lava.
She rolled a 19, which hits.
She's like, I'm free, and I'm like, you're dead.
You see the bravery of this tiny mechanical cat really start to inspire y'all as she jumps down, and one of her and her dagger tail goes straight in this dragon's eye as it was sniffing, looking for its kin. Screams bloody murder, and the dragon takes.
And then she gets to ride the dragon, and Garbage doesn't.
Yeah, fuck you, Garbage. Dragon takes 11 damage. Jugalda knows what's up. And blood is just pouring out. Garbage, you feel hot red hit you as the blood of this wormling red dragon just starts covering you from its broken eye socket. And that's it for Jugalda. She's now stuck on the dragon, and it's turn. Garbage, you're on deck. The dragon starts stomping, moving back and forth because it's blinded in one eye, its tail hitting. I need, as its tail slams into this pillar that you're on top of, Squeak, I need a dexterity saving throw or an acrobatics check. Garbage.
Real quick, isn't it still distracted by the scent? So wouldn't it
be
preoccupied?
Not since it got stabbed in the eye.
Okay.
How convenient for the DM.
Squeak, I need to see if you stay on, so you need a dexterity saving throw.
I will use my reaction of arcane deflection to give me a +4 to my saving throw for a 14.
You're able to barely hold on. Garbage, it's stomping.
Yeah, so Garbage has Sanctuary, so if he's stomping to attack Garbage, then he needs to make a Wisdom save. But if he's stomping because of Jugalda, and Scarbage just happens to be there. I'll let you make that decision, DM.
Well, I was having him...
'cause I get stabbed in the face.
Yeah, I was having him stomp just as a reaction, and Garbage is right next to him.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Garbage rolled a 19.
You're able to perfectly dodge under these large feet, and then he tries to take a chomp out of Jigalda. So he's going to flick his head as hard as he can to get her to slide down and then kind of go back immediately, like whipping his head to try to chomp her. Ba ba ba, Jigalda, do I have your AC? I sure do.
We'll say, would she get a dexterity save to hang on?
Not if her tail's embedded in his eye socket.
Like to, so she doesn't like whip off?
I think this is so fast.
Okay, like, yeah, I get that. I was asking.
Like a gator?
Like a gator. He bites. He hits. That is 5 piercing damage plus 6 fire damage to Jigalda. You see Jigalda, you hear almost a metallic crunch as these jaws come down on Jigalda.
Jigalda!
She's trying to kill Jigalda again.
I'm not. This is just the way the game's happening. Garbage, you're up with Squish on deck.
But you're the one playing Jigalda and the enemies.
Yeah.
I tried to do it so happened to get
It's not like we even told her to attack the dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe if you think deeply about this, she's protecting Squeak for a reason.
Don't try to pull something out of nothing.
All right, Garbage, you're up. Squish on deck.
Just as a quick reminder, Sam, Sanctuary that I cast on you, anyone who attacks you has to re-roll that, but it drops if you attack anybody.
You could try to make a beeline for the chest.
No, Garbage would be preoccupied with Jigalda, like trying to get Jigalda out.
Good job being in character.
So would I be able to get underneath and take my knife and slash at its throat?
It's very tall compared to you, but you could definitely slash at its belly or its balls or its legs or...
Dragons are like a reptile. Do they even have balls?
Good call. We don't know.
And we don't know if it's a mom.
No, they don't. They have cloakwards.
So Garbage is going to, again, run over towards the statue as fast as he can, plant one foot, and then propel himself off, and then stab the neck of the dragon.
Roll to hit. It's cool. I would say that's about 10 feet of your movement, by the way.
Does a 19 hit?
Sure does.
31 damage.
Nice.
What?
Yep. Stick attack.
Holy fucking god. Yeah, you all watch as Garbage plunges his knife, like, fucking midair, and then actually because of gravity, it goes down and starts splitting the neck open of this creature. It's not dead, quite dead yet, but it's not looking good.
Garbage is just going to be falling while it's ripping the neck, and he's going to be, like, screaming, "Fuck you!"
Amazing. Garbage, you are completely head-to-toe, every crevice of your body covered in dragon blood. You look like fucking Nick Cage and Mandy right now.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuck you, abused red dragon whose children were murdered.
No, I'm gonna get canceled. Okay, what do you have bonus actions for your Garbage?
Can I get Jigalda free of the dragon's mouth?
That would be a full action to try to do that, no.
Can I cut the dragon's mouth in an attempt to force it to release Jigalda?
That'd be the end of your movement, so you could try.
I mean, yeah, that's probably what I'll do then.
Okay, so offhanded attack. Go ahead and roll for me.
Does a 26 hit?
Fucking does. You perfectly get it in the membrane. Like when you see a reptile open its mouth, that membrane at the very corner of its mouth, you slice into that almost like Joker style, pulling up into the cheek, and its jaw on one side becomes hinged. Jigalda falls the 10 feet, lands perfectly like a cat on her feet. Roll damage.
5 damage.
You guys are hurting my guys.
Garbage is just going to look over towards Jigalda and be like, "You okay?"
Meow!
Oh, no.
Are you saying that you're hurt? Or what?
Sounded a lot like ow to me.
Squish, you're up with Squeak on deck.
Did she say meow or meow?
Meow!
That's what Garbage is confused with now.
The dragon looks extremely hurt. There's holes in its wing from Squish. Its throat is split open. Its jaw's unhinged. But yeah, Squish, you're up with Squeak on deck.
Yeah, I think that they have it pretty well handled over there, and this boar is coming back over this, like, is trying to come back over this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I am going to go ahead and take out one of our little laser pistols and just going to go ahead and shoot this thing.
Perfect.
That did not go very well at all. Yeah, that was real bad, and I don't have any way to buff that up. Oops.
What'd you roll?
Yeah, that was only a 9 to hit with a laser pistol.
It does not hit. Your bullet kind of glances off.
Yeah, that tracks.
It says laser pistol, so it wouldn't glance off.
Don't test me, Sam.
He was blinded by the lava.
I missed.
Blinded by the light to lava.
Yeah, so the heat from the lava is casting like a mirage, and Squish just misses completely.
Oh, you get bless.
True.
That's true. Okay, let's add a 4.
I mean, I doubt I did 4, but
we'll see.
Oh wait, did that do that to the dragon then, too?
You rolled high enough. You didn't need bless.
Yeah. So that makes it a 12 to hit
that
after bless.
It's
woo!
Oh yay! Yeah.
Yay! Squeak to the rescue.
That's the second time yay, Squeak has done something thanks, that buffed Squeak. Just enough.
Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be 20 points of damage to the boar.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Is it still up?
It is barely.
Okay. Then I'm gonna go ahead. Yeah. Then I'm gonna go ahead and. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and use one of my Divine Strike.
Okay.
And do an additional 7 points of damage.
How do you like your pork?
Well, Emberly asked for it to be extra crispy, so... This is for you, Emberly, and pow-pow and sizzles it.
Damn.
With a grand total of 27 points of damage.
Yeah, you see... The gun work to expertise Squish pow, 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 hits each shoulder, both going out of the socket as the creature was trying to climb out, and its arms kind of go flat as it sucked under the lava. You see it was already dead before its head went under, and it smells really nicely of very crispy bacon. Is that it for you, Squish?
Going to move up to the other side of the 17-foot tall. Is it? It's still erect, right? Or did it fall down?
No, it's still erect. It's like a big
it's
statue.
It's very erect.
Okay, yeah.
It's erect, and I'm on the tip.
Yes, and
yeah.
Ha, love it. Okay, so then she's going to move backwards 10 feet and put her shoulder against... It's basically like an obelisk, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And then be looking over her... like left shoulder, using the obelisk as cover and putting sights on the banshee bitch.
Yeah.
The succubus.
Cool.
Yeah, and that'll be her turn.
Wow, I made this too easy. I was like, this is gonna be so hard. Someone will definitely go down. No, I am not good at D&D. Squeak, you're up with the succubus on deck.
How much does Squeak know about dragons?
Roll history for me, or nature.
History.
Not a lot.
You know that most dragons come from the planet of Moss. They become rarer and rarer, and that most of them are usually pretty friendly towards humans. There's wild dragons, which are extremely rare, since the dragon riders of Moss have kind of taken over the dragon population. Mm-hmm. This, with a 10, yeah, I mean, that's pretty decent since it's right in front of you, and I know your backstory. It's, I mean, it's sitting right in front of you. This is probably a wild dragon that was captured and...
abused.
Fortunately not. Yeah, not treated the best. That's all I'm going to give you.
Okay. Squeak is conflicted because he doesn't like murdering animals, even though Garbage was all about being dragons' friends, and then that quickly turned around.
It forced my hand. It attacked the group.
That's very true.
So Squeak is going to jump down around the dragon's neck.
Okay.
And he's going to put his hands over its eyes, and he is going to lay on hands.
Oh.
The dragon for 10.
Hit points?
Uh-huh.
Wild. Okay.
Right?
And then he's going to prestidigitate the smell of freedom, which is like, I don't know, a Walmart on Black Friday. And he's going to tilt the dragon's head up to the top of the volcano.
Oh.
And then, like, unshield its eyes.
Roll strength for me.
A 2. Or a 6 altogether.
Yeah, you try to whip that head back with freedom, and you're not able to pull its head up, but the smell does permeate its nostrils.
And then I remove its hands, and I just give him a little hug. A friendly hug.
Okay.
And I whisper to him in common, it's gonna be okay.
Oh, what does he speak? Let's see.
Just draconic.
Yep.
I don't know that. But does my tone maybe get through to him?
It's very calm. You won't know till his turn, but it's very nice. Anything else for you, Squeak?
You know what? I do have a bless. Let me add my bless. Maybe that makes it better. How about a 7?
No.
Okay. Well, Squeak didn't want to kill the dragon anyways.
That's okay.
Squeak the dragon rider.
Grayson be pissed. Okay, so the succubus is up with Valen on tech. So she has stopped her screaming. And her head slowly turns, kind of rolling on her neck as she looks from Valen to Garbage. And she says,
"You're so brave, yet not well behaved.
And I need you to roll a wisdom saving throw."
Oh no.
Be wise, Garbage. Be wise. You could do so much damage to your party.
Well, it's not quite a nat 1.
Oh, my God.
If it helps, creatures within 10 feet of Squeak can't be charmed.
What?
Paladin.
You did say that.
You guys are killing me. I just want to charm one of you. I'll give you a draining kiss. Okay. Cool. So you rolled a 2. If it had been a nat 1, I would not give a fuck about your paladin shit. It was a 2. It was a 2.
No, you can't. Even if it was a 1. Even if it was a 1.
You telepathically hear this, and you feel like a warm hug, Garbage. And you kind of get an erection. And as
you got half a chub.
Yeah, you got half a chub.
I mean, it titties out, so, you know, he's already got half a chub.
Because it's a succubus, and, you know, he's getting a little hard, you just hear, like, the clank of a chastity belt, like...
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, and that's what kind of pulls you out of it.
In not a good way.
Yeah, and she gets really mad, and she's going to fly backwards to the very edge of the island she came from on the top left, like, northwest corner. She flies back and then kind of seductively stands one hit popped and narrows her eyes at all of you. And now I have Valen on deck. Valen up with Emberly on deck.
By the way, that's going to freak Garbage out quite a bit. Just a random whole lot of weight on his, you know, Dick and Johnson.
Dick and Johnson? You got 2 down there?
I'll never tell.
It matches this very, you know, lovely tabard you have. It's still got a family sigil on it.
I mean, with your Shibari skills earlier with the harness that you put on Valen when you're riding up the volcano.
We're a very sex-positive family.
Valen's gonna fly 15 feet forward closer and then 15 feet up higher, so he's still higher above ground. So, she'll still be in range of his Eldritch Blast, and he's gonna hit her again.
Go for it.
26 and 27.
Both hit.
Okay, so I'm just gonna roll all that damage.
Always shaking into the mic.
I gotta do some math real quick.
You just hear very soft.
It's gonna be all right.
From the dragon, the dragon swaying to the Squeak.
You know, Squeak, Squeak knows some Leonin, and maybe that's closer to Draconic because, like, there's some growls and roars, so he's gonna, like, try that to the dragon.
Ooh, you all hear him speaking Leonin. Track that in your arsenal. Recognize Galad's ship speaking Leonin.
Wanted to pump this cat into the lava.
Arlen, I have a calculator if you just want to start say numbers at me.
No, hold on 1 second. That's 34 total damage.
Wow.
And that's going to be 11 of that is going to be necrotic damage.
Yeah. You hit her, and again, you all hear this shrill scream, but she is still up.
And then that's going to be Alan's turn.
Emberly, you're up with Jigalda on deck.
I'm going to cast Entangle.
On the succubus?
On the succubus.
That's her kind of spell.
Yeah. Okay. She's the rope bunny.
I'm the rope bunny.
Yeah, that's true. The rope bunny.
Quite literally.
He's like, oh, me next. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So that's a 20-foot square around where she is, and it's going to wrap her and pull her towards the ground. Oh, she has to make a strength saving throw.
11.
That does not work.
Is she still up in the air?
No, she's on the ground.
So she is restrained.
Got it.
I'm just going to go right behind this obelisk as well, just in case she needs to see me to cast a spell on me. And yes, I did cast Shield of Faith on Garbage.
Shield of Faith is also a concentration, so was Entangled.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm so bad about that. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you are.
No, never. Yeah, it's just a lot of druid spells or concentration.
Okay, wait. Let me just see what I got. Let's see. I'm going to cast... What did I cast Guidance?
Guidance is also a concentration.
Fucking fuckers.
I'm just enjoying this show.
Give me a second. Sanctuary?
No, it's not.
Yes!
Sanctuary is not, yeah.
We're gonna cast Sanctuary on... I'm gonna cast it on Valen.
Because I'm out in the open.
Yeah. That's it. That's my turn.
Okay. Jigalda's up with the dragon on deck. Jigalda looks at what Squeak is doing, gets kind of concerned, not knowing what the plan is, and is going to run 15 feet in the opposite direction and go,
data collecting.
And she starts scanning that last chest area. It's going to be her turn. The dragon's up with Garbage on deck. I am going to let the dice tell the story as if this dragon listens to Squeak or not. So I'm going to roll a D100. If it's an odd number, the dragon will go back into combat. If it's an even number, the dragon will smell its freedom and fly out of the volcano. 85, it's still in combat. So it feels you on its Squeak. It's getting frustrated. It's never even known what freedom is. You're speaking a language it doesn't understand. And it's going to try to bite down on Garbage. Does a 23 hit you?
You know, I believe it does.
6 piercing, 1 fire, so 7 damage total. And then it's going, it doesn't have multi-attack. So that is going to be the dragon's turn. Garbage, you just got bit by a dragon. It fucking hurt. And now it's your turn with Squish on deck.
Well, Garbage is going to try to persuade the dragon to help us and gain its freedom, and we'll heal it.
Do you speak Draconic?
No.
Roll persuasion with disadvantage. This will be your action.
Okay. I rolled an 18 and a 13.
As you're trying to reason with this flaming dragon wormling, it just seems to be getting more upset. The rage in its eyes is growing even more.
I'm going to move over closer towards the succubus.
As you move away, this creature is going to take its attack of opportunity on you. It goes to bite down on you and attacks. That is 12 damage to you, Garbage. As it hits you again, it bites at your leg as you run away. Do you want to use your reaction to Uncanny Dodge?
Yeah.
So you, as it bites down, it just grazes your heel. You take 6 damage.
Yep.
Not 12.
Squish is taking notes, and we're going to have a tactile conversation when we get a rest.
This guy's just good at stealing stuff. He's not good at fighting.
Strategy.
Yeah. Okay. Squish, you're up with Squeak on deck.
Okay. I still have the laser pistol out, so we are going to the succubus. Sucky bitch. Okay, bonus action, we're going to cast Searing Smite.
Oh, fuck.
So that is going to do an additional 3 points of damage. And so we're going to go ahead and attack. Ooh, 13 plus the d4 from Bless. 13, 14, 15 to hit.
That hits.
It's going to be 16 points of damage total, 11 radiant, and then 5 divine strike, plus...
How do you like to cook your hoes?
Oh,
Sorry.
No. How do I like to cook this hoe?
No laughs on that? Wow, guys. Thanks.
I got you.
She goes down extra crispy, just like the boar. Squish is going to make a comment under her breath. We got enough sass in this party without adding you. Thank you very much. And we're done.
Nice. And as you say that and you hit, she falls into the entangled roots that Emberly created, and you see her life force leave.
That's her turn.
Fantastic. Squeak, you're up with Valen on deck.
Yeah. What are the odds that you'd let me break a spell rule and cast Comprehend Languages on the dragon instead of myself?
Not high.
Fair.
But you know what? We'll see what you roll. You want to roll intelligence to see if you can get that? The DC's a 20.
I get to use my plus?
Yeah, go ahead.
Aww.
Plus.
Okay. I guess then, can I just... want him to flee. I just want him to flee. That's all I want. Can I strong arm him into looking up to the top of the volcano?
Roll strength.
Can we do athletics?
You can do athletics.
23 athletics?
That passes. The DC was a 21.
I just want to force him to look up, and then with my bonus action, do I know if this is a male or female dragon?
It's a male.
It's a male. I will prestidigitate the odor of a female dragon in heat.
Oh my god!
Up. And then I'll let go.
The dragon turns its head towards all of you, but suddenly seems to curl in on itself, almost like it hears this high-pitched ringing, something that you can't hear. And you realize pretty immediately that you are out of initiative. The chamber goes quiet. You can't tell if the sound was actually turned down or if it's just your body balancing coming out of the sounds of such an intense and long fight. You kind of look at each other, breathing heavily, and you haven't even realized that they've entered. This isn't silence you're hearing. Is anticipation, a pressure in the air, like the very Adyle star system is holding its breath. This hollowed sphere carved of black obsidian seems to dim and darken despite the raging pools of lava surrounding you. It almost looks like the echoes of stardust surrounding you. The darkness swallows all of the light, and any of the reflections turn warped and almost elongated. And you hear it, a slight hum, as 6 floating discs with figures standing upon them drift from the shadows
these six hooded figures come forward. They hover 20 feet above you, looking down. And all of a sudden, the air feels oppressive. You feel instantly judged and dismissed. The light shifts, now pulsing upwards at these figures. They do not go any farther, just stare at you in the silence. They look content and resolved, like they've been here watching this entire time. And you realize in front of you, these motionless, composed forms are that of the council. They hover there, not statues, but something worse. Beings so certain of their place in this galaxy that the stillness seems effortless. Their silhouettes are so distinct, it's all coming back to you. The histories you've read, the stories you've heard, the news articles you've seen. Those distinct robes that seem to ripple like gravity wells, threaded with dim constellations. All you see is the reflection of six pairs of eyes, and nothing else around you seems to exist. And you realize they're not looking at you with curiosity. They're looking at you with assessment. You can feel it on your skin. You can feel it in your lungs. Breathing becomes conscious to you, and your hearts start to beat a little louder. One of the six in the middle tilts their head. The movement is small and deliberate. A low harmonic hum begins, and as you look around, you see hollow projectors and cameras on the walls. Things that were so hidden before, now making their presence known. The taste of static prickles on your tongue. Whatever these hollow emitters are about to show you was designed just for you. You glance from them back to the council, and your instincts seem to scream, predator. Authority. Not even your breath feels your own. One voice speaks.
Well, you all have come very far.
Not praise, not threat. A statement of fact. Sit behind you at your feet suddenly seem deeper and heavier as you hear these voices. Escape at this point? Theoretical. The air still presses in thicker. Then all of the council members' arms go up. One unified, almost lazy motion. The light holds for one unbearable heartbeat, and the council's gaze never leaves yours. And then snap. The sound is impossibly sharp. Not loud, but perfect. It cuts through the chamber like a blade through silk, echoing once, twice, almost in sync with your very heartbeat, as if the space itself needed a moment to understand that it had been commanded. The instant the fingers meet, the hum begins louder from these hollow projectors. The taste of the artificial atmosphere sharpens in your mouth. The air grows warm, then cool again. The breath of a colossal machine awakening, and darkness collapses inward. Stars ignite. The chamber's walls seem to dissolve with these projections as an ocean of lights and images erupts, not only above you and in front of you, but around you. These constellations tearing themselves through your very armor, your wings, your fingers, as they take shapes. It is the most beautiful soft nebulas as they break star systems you've only gazed at as children. And then the stars are pulled away from you. You feel a tingle as goosebumps rise on your flesh and fur towards the council, lighting them in the most beautiful of way. Each star system drifts upon their heads delicately and tastefully like crowns.
We rose so you would never have to fall.
The words aren't merely heard. They're seen. They settle onto your bones and into your memory, spoken by a voice that seems older than fear and smoother than doubt. The council stares at you. They watch you as an image appears. It is that of a galaxy in turmoil. A black hole sits upon the edge of the horizon, and ships you couldn't even imagine, that you've never seen before, pour through. You see your planets, your homes. V7, Moss, Stratus, Gozio, being torn apart by these ships. Then the image changes. You see the very council members in front of you tower like star giants carved from the nebula, their faces calm and merciful, hands outstretched, and with a simple wave, they destroy those ships. They put out fires. And the system seems to glow like prayer beads. Beneath them, tiny civilizations kneel on glowing, healthy planets, bathed in their celestial light.
Before us, the planets were alone in darkness, under the bar wash.
Exactly where they were. Untouched, unmoved, supreme. The one on the far right leans forward at last.
Tell us why the dial system should suffer under your defiance.
They say softly, and in that moment, you all are starting to understand. This was never meant to convince you of the council's place or yours. This was meant to define the terms of your execution. And that's where we're going to end the session.
Hey, howdy, hey, folks. Thanks again for tuning into another episode of Stardust Echoes. I think I'm on the voice mod for the council. Oh, fuck. Oh no.
Okay. Hey, folks. I don't know if I'm gonna keep that blooper in. Let's try this again. Hey, howdy, hey, folks. Thank you so much for staying tuned for another episode of the Dungeon Boys first season, Stardust Echoes. We really appreciate the patience between episodes. We just got off our holiday break for the end of 2025 and beginning of 2026. But we're back at it. We're stoked to get you more content and more episodes. Hopefully these will flow smoothly and you can really enjoy the ride. You can always check out our Patreon where we're doing behind the scenes interviews for every episode. I talk about my prep, how I felt about the session, where I had intended it to go, where it actually went, and what I'm doing behind the scenes. We usually pull 2 to 3 members of the cast to talk about the episode itself, how they felt about their character, what they would have done different, what things they liked, And we also ask a lot of really great questions, like what makes a D&D space safe? Or what's the stupidest thing you've ever done in a D&D game? What's a TTRPG you want to try? What's one you recommend that isn't Dungeons & Dragons? We kind of go through and have all kinds of fun chit-chat, and you get to know us as people a little bit better, and hear about the episodes you like so much through different lenses. We also give some blooper reels on those as well, so you can hear all the stupid, corny jokes that didn't make it into the actual podcast. If you want to join the Patreon for free, you can see maps, art processes, and some fun little cool things. Like right now, we're doing the characters' favorite songs that they would listen to and making albums and things like that. So yeah, check out the Patreon, join. We live in a world of really big companies buying everything and AI trying to take creative voices. So anything you can do to support small creators really, really makes a difference. And you know what? If all you can do is listen to this episode and maybe give it a rating wherever you're listening to it, that shit goes a really, really long way as well. So thank you so much for being one of the boys. Check us out on the social media. And as always, may all your space travels be safe.